Pennsylvania is going to be one of the most important states, if not the most important state, in determining the outcome of this year's presidential election. President Trump won Pennsylvania by a narrow margin in 2016, thanks in part to a crucial number of Democratic voters sitting out the election. This year, Democrats are trying to make sure that doesn't happen again by stepping up outreach to voters who already tend to vote blue. One of those key groups is Black voters in Philadelphia. How do they feel? And will the Biden-Harris campaign be able to energize their vote? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's political reporter Katie Meyer breaks it down. Katie, it must be that time of year in the election because we're getting saturated with political ads in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, we are obviously a very competitive swing state. And so candidates, campaigns, and the super PACs that support and oppose them are, you know, really, really stressing Pennsylvania and turning out Pennsylvania voters. So you've got a lot of Trump PACs spending money on ads.
Joe Biden, the toast of China, while over 100,000 of our jobs left Pennsylvania after.
And then you've got, you know, the Biden campaign dropping millions of dollars in Pennsylvania. One of their recent ads was especially targeted at Black voters.
This president will do anything he can to make it seem like things are better than they are.
I did more for the Black community than anybody, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln.
One of them features a conversation taking place in a barbershop, specifically encouraging Black men to turn out.
I'm still in shock 3 or 4 years later that we're in this position now. Our democracy is at a pivotal point.
From the top, we don't trust our government.
Katie, how surprising is it that the Biden campaign is doing this? Because I'm thinking about the fact that Black voters seem to vote pretty reliably Democrat. And some Black people I talk to say because of that, they feel like their votes are taken for granted by the Democratic candidates.
Yeah, that's an idea I've heard from a number of people. And I heard it recently from Carl Day. He's a pastor at Culture Changing Christians Worship Center in North Philly. And he got a lot of media attention recently after he appeared at this town hall that Trump did with undecided voters in Philly. And he asked President Trump, you know, when Trump says, make America great again, what great time period is he talking about?
You have yet to address and acknowledge that there's been a race problem in America.
So if you go, well, I hope there's not a race problem, I can tell you there's none with me.
Who'd he vote for in the last election?
He voted for Jill Stein in 2016. But before that, he, you know, very happily voted for Barack Obama. So I asked him, you know, so what changed? And he said, well, in 2016, he didn't like his options. He didn't like Trump, didn't really like Hillary Clinton.
She really did not have a clear-cut agenda for the Black community, which here we are again. This is where I'm at. This is where my passion is.
So he went for Stein. And he says this year he kind of feels similarly. So specifically, he pointed to ways that he believes Black Philadelphians specifically have been set up to fail. So things like redlining, where people were forced over years by actual policy into neighborhoods that were considered undesirable, schools being underfunded, being in jobs that are low paying. And he said he wants action on this, and he wants it in a really explicit way that he thinks, you know, these candidates aren't really giving him.
When the smoke clears, guess what? I still have to continue to pick up the pieces in my community. So I'm not about to just settle for a, hey, anybody but 45. No, I need better answers than that.
But the thing is, in a close election, voters like Day, people who don't feel particularly inspired by either candidate, they're going to be important. This is an election that's going to be decided by probably not very many votes. And so when campaigns are deciding who they're going to target and who they need to turn out, every vote really matters.
We know that Pennsylvania is a swing state, but just how important a swing state is Pennsylvania?
It is very important, Annette. So there's a couple reasons why. First of all, yes, it's a swing state. It's pretty divided down the line between Democrats and Republicans. And it's worth 20 points in the Electoral College, which means that whoever wins it gets a really big boost. And actually, this wasn't always the case. You know, in 2016, in the run-up to the election, I remember people talking about, oh, like, is Pennsylvania really even a swing state anymore? Because it hadn't gone to a Republican in a long time. George H.W. Bush had been the last person who'd won it. But then, you know, it voted for Trump by a very slim margin. And suddenly it was really, really back in play. And 538 recently did an analysis that said Pennsylvania has about a 30% chance of being the tipping point state that decides the election. It says that Pennsylvania is so important that there's an 84% chance of Trump winning the presidency if he carries Pennsylvania. And if Biden wins Pennsylvania, he has a 96% chance of winning.
Wow. And Trump won Pennsylvania by such a small margin in 2016.
Yeah. And so this is why, you know, we're talking about really small numbers of voters and getting turnout wherever you can for each campaign. Because in 2016, Trump won by 0.7 percentage points, so less than 1%.
Sheesh.
I know. And that's only about 44,000 votes, which is like minuscule. And so, you know, he did that in a couple of different ways, but a couple of the crucial ones were appealing to voters in Northeast Pennsylvania, sort of blue-collar working-class areas where turnout among these voters that demographers call white non-college voters was higher than expected. And he also did a little bit better in the Philadelphia suburbs than the Clinton campaign had expected. So all of those factors kind of, you know, mixed in and he won by just a little bit.
Well, what about the suburbs, Katie? Because I've been hearing a lot about how important those inner ring Philadelphia suburbs will be again in this election.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, that's true. I talked to Chris Borick about this. He's a professor. He's a political analyst, and he runs the Muhlenberg College poll, which is, you know, a very highly rated poll. And he thinks that the Northeast and the Philly suburbs, they will be the areas that make the biggest difference in how the state swings.
Northeast Pennsylvania, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area in particular, was a bastion of Democratic strength in Pennsylvania for decades. And in 2016, the erosion of that strong Democratic part of the state in no small part contributed to Donald Trump's victory here.
And Biden's campaigning there, too. And, you know, he's spending a lot of time and attention on Scranton. That's, you know, his childhood hometown. That's a place where he really wants to cut into Trump's margins. I think there's good odds that Biden will also do pretty well in the burbs because they're getting increasingly bluer. And that's been a trend we've seen happening over every single year that there's been an election. But Borick, he also pointed to, again, that razor-thin win that Trump had in 2016.
Marginal changes in regions across the state could have enormous impacts on the outcome.
Those margins, they don't just include the really competitive areas like the suburbs or the Northeast, but places that we think of as reliably blue, like Philly. And so that means reaching out to voters in places like Philly who, you know, we think of as reliably Democrat, like Black voters. Black voters vote for Democrats in pretty high numbers and reliably high numbers. But the question is, will they vote in high enough numbers to tip the scales?
Everything matters. And so all regions right now are going to play a role.
So what we're seeing here is Biden doing his very best to shore up Philadelphia, you know, so reaching out to voters and specifically Black voters, trying to make sure that they feel like his campaign is listening to them, is hearing them, and will be inspired to turn out.
When we come back,
I think about this pandemic in many ways, including this. It has been an accelerator. It has made for people who things were bad, made them worse.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Katie Meyer about how the Biden-Harris campaign is trying to energize Black voters in Philadelphia to go to the polls. This isn't just about if Philadelphia goes blue, but how many voters will show up?
Yes, 100%. So in Philly, turnout is, you know, absolutely the name of the game for Biden. So inspiring people to go to the polls instead of not voting at all. Which, you know, in that ad I mentioned earlier, you can see, you know, the campaign's not really taking for granted that people will go to the polls. It's encouraging Black men not just to vote for Biden, but just to show up on election day.
To the thousands who did not vote, we need you to show up for our future and for our country.
You cannot sit on the sidelines. You got to get in the game.
I should say here, too, like, we can't conflate Black voters with Philly voters, and we shouldn't treat Black voters like a monolith either. Mm-hmm. Black voters do vote in different ways, predominantly for Democrats. And Philly, of course, also votes in lots of different ways. But the fact is, Philly's 44% Black, and Black voters tend to vote for Democrats and tend to feel most heard by Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so those are the different factors we're talking about here.
So I'm curious, what did we see when it came to Black voter turnout in the last two presidential elections?
So nationwide, Black turnout went down by about 8 points from 2012 to 2016. So that's not just Pennsylvania, that's everywhere. The upshot is, by and large, people's perspectives changed in different ways. White voters who switched, mostly switched to Trump. Black voters who switched mostly were just, you know, opting out.
Katie, from what you're hearing, does it seem like Biden will be able to excite Black voters in Philly the way he needs to?
So, yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I talked to Sherelle Parker about this. She is a city council person, and she's the leader of the 50th Ward in Northwest Philly, which typically, just to note, has pretty high turnout. And she says, you know, from what she has been able to see, enthusiasm feels different for Biden and Kamala Harris than it did for Obama. But, you know, she does think that, yes, people seem likelier to vote this year than in 2016.
People are feeling a sense of responsibility, individual responsibility, in a way that I don't think that I've seen in a very, very long time. With President Barack Obama, it was about hope. Now it's about, this is my responsibility to correct what is wrong.
And does Sherelle Parker feel like Biden and Kamala Harris are doing enough to tap into this feeling of responsibility and give Black voters a good reason to turn out?
So this is where Parker differs from somebody like Carl Day, the pastor who was frustrated with his options. Parker is on board with Biden. She thinks he and Harris are doing a good job and are actually running on issues that Black voters care about, and they're not just coasting.
When have you heard a person running for president who has a plan to support historically Black colleges and universities? Until I heard Kamala Harris and Vice President Biden talk about it and make it an essential part of their platform, we hadn't heard people talk about it. Support for cities. I think it's the sense of urgency relative to the issues that we are facing right now.
The other day, Parker held a town hall with Kamala Harris in her backyard, where Harris said this.
I think about this pandemic in many ways, including this. It has been an accelerator. It has made for people who things were bad, made them worse. And in one way, perhaps there is then an opportunity for more people to see what some of us have been knowing for generations around issues like systemic racism and longstanding disparities that are perpetuated by systems and by people.
Now, back to Day, he still thinks he's not seeing enough from Biden that's different from what he sees as the status quo. He wants slightly more, you know, radical action on things like poverty and gun violence. But both of these people, both of these sort of, you know, different sides of the coin of Philadelphia voters, they both agree that this election is not going to be the end-all be-all. You know, that politics is going to continue to, you know, exist and be important after, you know, whenever we have the results in November. And so they're looking ahead to what's going to happen then after the election. And you heard Day before, you said, you know, when the smoke clears, he needs to go back to his community and deal with issues like gun violence, poverty. And Parker says she and other political leaders in Philly also intend to hold the Biden administration accountable to their needs if he wins.
So when people talk about Biden-Harris, it's no longer just about hope. It's about we're going to hold you accountable to help us develop the remedy that we're going to need to address the issues that are taking place in our community.
But of course, in order for them to hold him accountable, they have to win.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the big question, right? Like, is all of this work to turn out voters that the Biden campaign is doing, you know, is it going to work? And if they do want to get elected, you know, for Sherelle Parker to one day hold them accountable, they need to turn out those voters. And they need to do it not just in Philadelphia, but across the entire state.
Well, Katie, thanks as always for your reporting. And thanks for breaking this all down for us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Annette.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk tomorrow.